Colossians chapter number 3 is where we're going to be tonight. Colossians chapter 3. We left off last week in verse number 16. Verse 16 there where it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." According to that verse right there, where is the word of Christ supposed to dwell? That's right, in you. And so it's not enough for you to just get in the word. The word of God needs to get where? In you. And that's why we're very much, we emphasize that here at Crossroads, how important it is that you get in the Bible and that the Bible get in you. Not just that you read it out of rote, you know, that you just read it because that's the thing to do, or you read it because you don't want to feel guilty. No, you read it to get something out of it. You read it to get something out of that into you. And that when we study the Bible, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We read it, we study it, so that it can get inside of us. The Word of God has transforming power, and it has to be received, and it's got to be believed. And when it is received, and when it is believed, then it dwells in us richly. I like that word, richly. Pastor Rich, you like that word, richly, right? It dwells in you richly in all wisdom. It just provides that wisdom you need for your daily life. Now, you notice it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, when music and singing is what? It's just a natural expression of God's word at work inside a believer's heart. That's why we sing in church. It's just an outward expression of God's word and God's spirit working inside of us. Music, is music a teaching tool? Yes or no? Yeah, I guarantee you can remember songs you heard years and years ago, and you can still remember those songs. I catch myself singing songs all the time, and the staff here, they tease me, because they say, we cannot say a phrase without you having a song to go along with it, you know. And they'll say something, a phrase, and then I'll just take off and start singing a song based on that phrase. And that's because there's so many songs in that mind of mine that's up there, and then something will jog it, and I'll just start singing it. Man, that's the power of music right there, you know, just the power of music. It's a teaching tool. So based on that, you think it's important what kind of music we listen to, yes or no? Is that important? Yeah. Is that an issue? It is an issue. It's a very important issue. It's very important because what you're listening to music-wise is teaching you. It's teaching you. It's teaching you a philosophy of life. It's teaching you how to relate to people. It's teaching you how to view things, you know. And so, yeah, music's a very powerful teaching tool. Now, notice he said there in verse 16, look at it again. The very end of that verse says, singing with grace in your hearts. Notice who's the audience there? To the Lord. To the Lord. We sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't care if you're on tune or off tune? Isn't that great? You know, as long as it's from your heart, you know, and it's sincere and it's truth, it's biblical, you know, the Lord's pleased with that. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you're on tune, off tune, you know, whatever. You know, so anybody in here, you just can't carry a tune in a bucket, you know. You just. I'm curious, how many of you can't carry a tune in a bucket, but you still love to sing? Yeah. What is that? That's the Spirit of God inside of you, see? And that's just God's word at work inside of you, and you just want to sing. You know, you just want to do it. It's a great thing. It's wonderful. Let's say a song is a Christian song. Is it important that is it enough that a song just mentions the Bible or mentions Jesus, or is it important that it be doctrinally correct? Well, it's important because it's teaching you, right? The song is teaching you. Does a singer have any more of a right to sing a lie than a preacher does to preach a lie? No. And so it's very important that what we're singing, it's not just to show off our fleshly talent. Singing is not, that's not what it's all about, folks, biblically. Singing is not about gaining applause or getting a standing ovation. It's not about that at all. You know, those are all just cultural things that we do, but that's not what singing is supposed to be about. Singing is an outward demonstration of the grace of God and the Word of God at work in your inner man. Now, you know, we talked about this last week and how Christian music really has been taken over as an industry and a business and all that stuff, but that has no biblical basis. You want to know what singing's all about? Read verse 16. That's what singing biblically is all about. It's not about you trying to figure out how you can make a buck off your voice, you know, or make a dollar or get some fame or make money. No, singing is what verse 16 is all about. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what singing's all about. Now, what I want to do is I want to focus that very first phrase in the verse. Look at it with me. It says there, let the word of Christ, doesn't say the word of God. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Now, when Paul refers to the word of Christ, what does he have in mind? Don't answer out loud, just think. When Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you, what does he have in mind? What does he specifically mean? What is the word of Jesus Christ? Now, certainly it's not one solitary word. When he says the word of Christ, he doesn't literally mean one word like love or grace. I mean, we understand there's more meanings to the word word than one meaning, right? What do we call this? We call this volume the Word of God. We don't go around calling it the words of God, do we? We call it the Word of God. You open it up, okay, and there's not just one word in there, right? There's not just one word. In fact, when you open it up, there's 810,677 words. I counted them today. You don't believe me? You go home and count them tonight. There's 810,677 words in your Bible. If you've got a King James Bible, that's what it is. 810,677 words. Now, we understand the word has more than one meaning. The Word of God, what does that mean? Doesn't mean one word. It means the volume of words that God has spoken, right? You may say at work, you may use this expression. We use the word like that all the time. You may say at work, hey, I received word from the boss. You tell the folks under you, I received word from the boss and he said, and then you tell them, well, you don't just give them one word. When you say, I got word from the boss, what you mean is I got a message from the boss. I've got a message. He said more than one word, but his entire communication is called his word. I got the word from the boss. And here we may say, hey, I got word from headquarters. We don't mean I literally got one word. We mean I got word. I got communication from headquarters. Aren't you glad to know God's communicated with us? He didn't leave us in the dark. He gave us communication. And that body of communication is called the Word of God. So, back to our question. What is the Word of Christ? Do you think that's an important question that we need to answer? Well, I'd say it's pretty important because look at verse 16. Where is that Word supposed to dwell? So if I don't know what it is, how's it going to dwell in me? Right? So it's a really important question. I really need to know what the Word of Christ is. If somebody came up to you and said, what's the Word of Christ? What would you say? Now, by the end of the lesson tonight, I hope you'll be able to answer that question. What is the Word of Christ? We're talking about this question. What is Christ's communication to you as a member of the body of Christ? How do I find it? How do I locate it? What is the Word of Christ? Word meaning the body of communication. what is the body of communication that Christ has made to me as a member of the body of Christ? What is His word to me? Now, in your handout, it says there are some who would say that this is referring to the words that Christ spoke on earth. In fact, some publishers have sold what is called a red letter edition of the Bible. That's a Bible that takes Christ's earthly words, and the publisher decided, God never said to do it, you understand that, that, and by the way, this is probably a good time to mention this. If you've got a Bible and it's got study notes in it, the Bible, the portion of the scripture that's there is inspired by God. But are the notes that are in your Bible inspired? No, those are man-written, so they can be wrong. So you got to be careful there. And I'm not telling you not to read them. I'm just saying be careful. You can't just take that like the Bible. But the tendency is we open up our Bible and we think everything in there has got to be right. I mean, it's the Bible. And it is. The scripture is, you can count on 100%. But all those notes that whoever was the editor of your Bible wrote, you got to be careful because it may not be exactly biblically, doctrinally correct. Well, by the same token, God never, when He gave the Bible, He didn't instruct that the words that Christ spoke on earth be put in red. That's something that a Bible publisher decided to do. Now, by the way, if you've got one like that, it's fine. All right, you don't need to go and get rid of your Bible and go buy a new one tomorrow, okay? Mine's that way, okay? Most Bibles that come out today are that way. They took the words that Christ spoke on earth and they put those in red ink. So, you know, if you've got a Bible like that, that's fine. But here's where it gets sticky. They say, basically what they say is, okay, we've taken Christ's actual words, and they say we've printed those in red ink. Don't you believe that for a moment. That is a farce and a sham and a complete failure to rightly divide and believe God's word. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Dan, what are you talking about? Are the letters in your Bible that are in red, are those the only words that Christ spoke? Yes or no? No. Those are the words He spoke on earth. Herein we have the problem in organized religion today. Is that they want to take these words that are spoken on earth and almost to the point where, because we've singled them out, elevate those above other words. But the fact is, Christ spoke more words than what He spoke on earth. So what do you mean? Did you know Christ spoke words from heaven? Did you know that He spoke words from heaven while ushering in the dispensation of grace through the Apostle Paul? What about those words? Why aren't they in red? Now, Christ spoke to the 12 apostles that He called. He spoke to them from earth, no doubt about it. But in your handout, it says He spoke to Paul from His glorified position in heaven. This is affirmed over and over and over again. I want you to do this. You're in Colossians. Let's go to the next book to the right, 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4. And I want to just cross-reference a few verses with you here and show you that Christ's words that you have in red in your Bible are not the only words He spoke. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1. Are you there? Give me a good amen. Amen. All right. Furthermore then, Paul said, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by who? The Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you. Now, where did Paul get those commandments that he gave to the church? Where did he get them? By the Lord Jesus. So who gave Paul those commandments to give to the church? Somebody tell me, who gave it to Paul? Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians 4, and go down to verse 15. For this we say unto you, by the what? Word of who? The Lord. And then he goes on to explain the rapture, is what he's doing in the context. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said to the Corinthians, I show you a mystery. And he talks about the rapture. You know what a mystery is? Something that hadn't been revealed yet. Paul says, I'm going to reveal to you a mystery. The rapture of the body of Christ, you will not find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will not find it coming from the 12. The rapture of the body of Christ is a mystery that Christ gave to Paul, and Paul said he got it. Notice verse 15. He said, I got it by the word of the Lord. He said, now, I'm giving you this by the word of the Lord, and then boom. And we know from 1 Corinthians 15, that was a mystery. It's something that wasn't revealed until Christ revealed it to Paul. Go to Galatians. That's going to be before Colossians. Go to the left of Colossians, a couple of books, and go to Galatians 1. We're staying right here in this vicinity, so just go with me. Galatians chapter 1, and look at verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of who? Now look up here. Paul received a gospel, a good news, and he said, I didn't get it from man, I didn't get it from Peter, I didn't get it from James, I didn't get it from John, I didn't get it from any of the 12. He said, I wasn't taught it by a man. He said, you know how I got the gospel that I came and gave to you churches there in Galatia, which was his first missionary journey? He said, I got my gospel by revelation of Jesus Christ. That is, revelation meaning revealing. Christ revealed himself to Paul and gave Paul the gospel he preached. In fact, look down at chapter 2, verse number 2. He said, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them, that is the people at Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem, which is where Peter, James, and John were. I communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So Paul gets this gospel from Christ by direct revelation. Christ spoke and gave it to Paul by revelation. And then Paul went out and preached it, and then he said, I went up years later, and I explained my gospel to the 12 apostles. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, right before Galatians. Well, I tell you what, grab 2 Corinthians 13 on the way. 2 Corinthians, just go back a couple pages. 2 Corinthians 13, and you're just going to literally flip a couple pages probably. 2 Corinthians 13, and then verse number 3. He says there, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking where? In me, Paul said, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. Go back to 1 Corinthians now, right before that. 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go to chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. This is a common passage we use for the Lord's Supper when we receive communion. And Paul says here, verse 23, for I received of the Lord. He didn't say I got it from Peter or James or John or any of the 12. I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. And then he goes on. Now go to chapter 14. Just flip over a couple pages. Chapter 14. Look at verse 37. Verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of who? Yeah, it didn't say Moses. Didn't say the commandments of Peter. He said these are the commandments of the Lord. He got them directly from the Lord and then gave them to the church, the body of Christ. Go over to chapter 15. Just go down a few verses, verse 3. Chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also, what? Received. How that Christ died for our sins. And he goes through there and explains that. So, when did Christ first speak to Paul from heaven? Well, look in your handout. And I've got in your handout there Acts 26, 16, 17, and 18. I think it's worth looking at. Paul is going back and he's talking about his salvation experience. And he says here, but rise, this is Jesus talking now, but rise and stand upon thy feet. And by the way, it's interesting that if you have a red letter Bible, this passage is in red. Now, it's interesting that the publishers of the red letter Bibles recognize that Christ did in fact speak some words from heaven. And so they put this passage right here in red, but let's look at it, and we're going to see this isn't the only thing he said from heaven. Okay, look at it with me. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I, Christ said, I have appeared unto thee, tells Paul, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things, notice I bolded it, in the which I will, what? Appear unto thee. So Paul could expect future revelations. Paul could expect future appearances and revelations from Christ. And then he goes on to say, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, look up here and be a thinker, okay? I didn't say be a stinker, I said a thinker, all right? Be a thinker. If that passage says what it says, and it says what it says, then if these words are in red, and he says, now, I'm going to make you a witness of the things you're seeing and hearing now, and also the things in the which I will appear unto thee, then are there other appearances and words that Christ spoke to Paul from heaven? Yes or no? Yes. Well, why aren't those in red? You see, that's my point. Paul, in your handout, it says Paul did not receive God's word in one revelation, but rather a series of revelations from Christ. In fact, he called it in 2 Corinthians. Remember when he got the thorn in the flesh? And he said, hey, remember that? He said that Satan came and buffeted him. You know why? He said, Satan came and buffeted me. He said, God allowed that to happen. He said, lest he should be lifted up with pride because of the abundance of revelations. Plural. So according to Paul, he got an abundance of revelations from Jesus Christ. So, but understand that it came in series. It came in parcels. It came in segments. He didn't just take all the revelation for the body of Christ today, and then just, boom, just dump it on Paul at one time. He gave Paul some information when he got saved, but he said, I'm telling you, there's more information coming. You ever do that at work? Those of you who have ever been over other people, you ever give some instruction, but you don't want to give them information overload? And so you give them maybe a little bit on Monday of training, and then maybe you're training somebody for the job. Then Tuesday you give them a little bit more, and Wednesday you give them a little bit more, and And then, you know, maybe that goes on for weeks where you're giving them a little bit more information as each day goes on. Well, Paul, that's the way he got his revelation. He got it in segments, in parcels. Jesus would give him the revelation for that time, and it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle, you know, and he didn't give him all the pieces of the puzzle at one time. He gave him a piece here, piece here, piece here. And so Paul is getting revelations from Christ. He's getting the word of Christ for a period of years. In your handout, I think it's in your hand. Maybe it's not in your hand. No, I guess it's not in your handout. He got a revelation at his salvation, right? We just read that. Christ said, you can expect future revelations. All right, then we know he received a revelation later concerning the gospel of grace found in the cross. We know, we just read it in Galatians 1, right? He didn't get his gospel from man. He said, I got it by revelation of Jesus Christ. So we know he got a revelation when he got saved. We know he got a revelation when Christ, I believe it was out, remember when he spent 3 years in Arabia? I believe when he was out there in Arabia, that's when Christ gave him the gospel that he preached. That's when Christ revealed to Paul the cross work and all that was accomplished. The gospel that Paul preached, that Jews or Gentile individuals can be reconciled to God through personal faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that Christ made a complete atonement for the sins of the world, and that a person can get immediate and total forgiveness through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and be reconciled to God instantly, Jew or Gentile, without any distinction. That gospel he got out there in Arabia was never preached before. That's why he said, I got it from Christ. I didn't get it from anybody else. Peter, you won't find Peter preaching the cross. Really, you won't find him preaching the cross at all. I mean, when Peter preached the cross, it was, you need to repent of what you did. Peter wasn't preaching the blessedness of the cross work in the early part of Acts. No, that came when Christ revealed it to Paul. See, he made an appearance and revealed that to Paul. Now, Paul continued to get revelations from Christ all during the book of Acts. So while the book of Acts is going on and Paul's out there doing his missionary journeys, he's getting more revelation. He's getting more information. See, that's why I say he didn't give him information overload at one time. He gave it to him in pieces. So Paul's out there on these four missionary journeys, and while he's out there, he's continuing to get divine information concerning the church, the body of Christ, and our doctrine for today. He gave him, for example, do you know what books Paul wrote in the book of Acts? That'd be a pretty important thing to know, I think, if you're serious about your Bible. You need to know what books Paul wrote during the transitional book of Acts. And those books would be Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It would be 1st and 2nd Thessalonians in the book of Romans, where he lays out his gospel that he got. And then, let me ask you something. At the end of Acts, Paul is in prison in Rome. Did he quit getting revelation from Christ at the end of the book of Acts? No. Did he continue to write revelation after the book of Acts? Yeah, he can. When I say revelation, not the book of Revelation, I meant, did he continue to get information from Christ? Yes or no? Yeah, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. All that information came after the end of the book of Acts. After that. So Paul's continuing to write, and he's continuing to have appearances, revelations, the abundance of revelations. Christ would appear to Paul, give him the information for the church, the body of Christ. So, you know, I don't know, maybe you're with me. I don't know. I hope you're with me tonight. Amen. But do you see how deceptive it is to put certain words in red while leaving all of Paul's epistles in black? Now again, I'm not trying to tell you to, you know, my Bible's that way too. I'm just telling you that you need to be careful, because what it can do is it can lead people to believe that the words that Paul wrote were not the actual words of Christ. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Paul's letters to the church are the Word of Christ. In fact, in your handout, it says they are the Word of Christ spoken directly to the church, the body of Christ, today. Now, I did a little comparison chart, if you want to turn your handout to the next page. I did a little comparison here. We're talking about the Word of Christ. So I did a comparison chart of the words that Christ spoke to the 12 on earth versus the words that were spoken to Paul. Now, of course, we know that the words that Christ spoke on earth are recorded in what books? Yeah, I like to ask questions like that and make sure you're all listening, okay? So the words that Christ spoke on earth are recorded in what books? Say it with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So you notice at the top of the chart there, we've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then on the other side, we've got the words Christ spoke from heaven to Paul. So we're going to draw some comparisons here, and this is going to help you. You life group teachers need to really listen. You need to pay attention because you're teaching the Word every week. You need to know this stuff, all right? Look at you got a higher level of accountability. Look at it. It says there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they wrote down some of the words that Christ spoke on earth. Right? Matthew wrote words that Mark didn't write. We know that. We know that John maybe wrote stories or things or words that Christ spoke that Luke didn't record. And by the way, are there words that Christ spoke on earth that none of them recorded? Yeah. We know that after Christ rose from the dead, he walked on the earth for 40 days. He's still on the earth. He's in his resurrection body, but he's still on the earth. And the Bible says in Acts 1:3 that he made several appearances to the 12, and during that time period, showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, and he spoke to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And of course, none of that we don't have recorded, very little. So he made appearances all during the 40 days, of which we really don't know what all he said. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they recorded some of the words Christ spoke on earth. Now go to the other side of the chart. Paul wrote down all of the words Christ spoke from heaven. You go to the next one there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote down Christ's words spoken specifically to Israel. You see, when Christ was ministering on earth, who was he ministering to? Yeah, he came. Do you remember the verse, John 1? He came unto his own, meaning his people, Israel, and his own received him not. What did Jesus say when a Gentile woman came to him? He said, don't you know I am not, the disciples came and said, talk to this woman, get rid of her. He said, don't you guys know I am sent to none but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. His earthly, listen to me, you got to get this. His earthly ministry was to Israel. Not that there wasn't some interaction with some Roman soldiers or with a Gentile woman here or there that believed the program that God had through Israel. But he only, you understand, Christ's ministry took place in a very confined geographic area, and it was all in Israel. He didn't travel the world. It was only in Israel where he traveled. And do you understand that he, by his own words, said, my ministry is to the house of Israel, period. He told the disciples when he sent them out, don't go into the way of the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, there's a reason for that. It wasn't that he didn't love the world. It was that the prophetic program had to go through Israel first. They had to be converted first, and then they'd be a blessing to all the Gentile nations. And so there was a reason why he did that. It wasn't that he was hard-hearted or cold. Of course, our Savior wasn't that. But he knew the prophetic program had to go through Israel. So look at the other side of your chart. They wrote, okay, so the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they wrote down Christ's words spoken specifically to Israel. Paul wrote down Christ's words spoken specifically to the church, the body of Christ. Every single one of Paul's letters are written to either local churches, a local church, or a leader in a local church. So all of Paul's letters are written specifically to the church, the body of Christ, which, by the way, those letters are written primarily to Gentile churches. There are some Jews that believe the gospel too, but primarily it's Gentile churches Paul wrote to. Go to your handout again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they wrote down Christ's words spoken while living under the law before his cross work. Did Christ live in obedience to the Old Testament law? Did he function in submission to the Old Testament law system? Yeah. Did he keep the feasts of the law? Did he follow the sacrifices of the Old Testament law system? Yep. Remember the guy he healed and he said, go show yourself to the priest? That's what the law said he's supposed to do. Christ lived in submission under the law system of Israel. So when he speaks, he's functioning and speaking as someone functioning under the Mosaic law system. In your handout, it says, Paul wrote down Christ's words spoken while dwelling in his exalted position in heaven after his cross work and after the law was declared dead. The Mosaic law is declared dead. You're not in bondage to it, Paul said. You don't have to keep the sacrifice. You don't have to keep the feast days. You don't have to keep all the different ordinances. He said, we've been delivered. The cross work took care of all that and delivered us from all that. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are writing the words of Christ spoken under the law. Paul's writing the words of Christ from heaven spoken on the other side of the cross where the law is declared dead. Okay, last thing in your chart. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote down Christ's words spoken on earth as the Messiah, King of Israel. Isn't that how he presented himself? He's the Messiah. I'm the Messiah. I am the King of Israel. Well, did he present himself that way to Paul? Do you ever see Paul, when he writes to the churches, do you ever see him referring to him as Messiah, King of Israel? No. In your handout, how did Paul present Christ? Well, Paul wrote down Christ's words spoken from heaven as the rejected king, head. He presented Christ as the head, not king, but head, of a new organism called the church, the body of Christ. So, all that to explain one phrase in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Now, let's bring this together. Stay with me and think. When Paul writes to the Gentile church at Colossae, and he tells them, oh, heathen, pagan Gentiles who are now believers in the body of Christ, when he says to them, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, what word do you think Paul had in mind? Do you think he was telling those Gentile people that they needed to let the Christ earthly words to Israel? Or do you think he had Christ heavenly words that he spoke to Paul in mind? He's talking about the word, the body of communication that Christ had given to him, to Paul, to give to the church, the body of Christ. He says, let that word dwell in you. Now, having said that, let me ask you this. Can we learn from all of Christ's words? Absolutely. We can learn from all of them. In fact, can we learn from all the Word of God? Absolutely. That's why we preach it all here, don't we? You know, that sometimes people say, well, you just hold to Paul's writings. Oh, really? Well, just go online and browse the books of the Bible we've been through. And how we've preached through Psalms and preached through Nehemiah and preached through Nahum and preached through Haggai and preached through 1 Samuel and preached through 2 Samuel. I can't even remember them all right, but you get the point, right? Is that all the Word of God is profitable, but here's the key. Now go back real quick to Colossians 3 and we'll go ahead and put a caboose on this. All right, look at Colossians 3 and go back there and look at verse 16 again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Let that body of communication that Christ gave to me, Paul said, from heaven, let that be what dwells in you richly. And then notice what happens. What happens when I let that sound doctrine dwell in me? He says it dwells in me richly in all what? Wisdom. In your handout, it says there is much that we can learn from all of Christ's words and from all the Word of God. But as a member of the body of Christ today, you desperately need to be rooted and grounded in the sound doctrine Christ has given you through Paul for this dispensation of grace. Now, look at the next statement in your handout. Once the word of Christ, spoken to and through Paul, once that gets inside of you, you will have the wisdom needed to understand and rightly divide all of God's word. By the way, one side note, that's why so much so-called, quote, Christian music today is watered down and it's weak doctrinally. You know why? Because the word of Christ spoken through Paul to the body of Christ is not the focus in a lot of that music. It's not good, solid church age doctrine that they're singing about. It's not. Now, some of it's fine. Some of it is good. Some of it is rightly divided. Some of the music, I'm not condemning all of it. Some of the new music today is very solid, very good, and it's very Pauline in nature. Then you've got other, you got a lot of the music out there today that's law-based or it's kingdom-based teaching. It's not grace teaching from Paul. Now, if a person does not understand the dispensation of grace that we live in, if a person doesn't understand the gospel of grace given to us through Paul, how can they really sing with grace in their hearts to the Lord? Look at what the end of the verse says, verse 16. It says, singing with what? Come on, look at it. Singing with what? Grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. If I don't understand the grace period I live in today, if I don't understand the gospel of grace that Christ gave to Paul, how am I going to sing with grace in my heart to the Lord? Let the word of Christ dwell where? In you. Now, if somebody comes to you and says, what's the word of Christ? I certainly hope that you won't say to them, it's the letters in red in my Bible. I'll pull my hair out if you do that, all right? I hope you'll have the wisdom now to be able to say to them, hey, I understand that Christ spoke some words to His people Israel on earth, and we can learn a lot from that. We can get a lot of information from that and a lot of admonishment. But the words of Christ spoken directly to us, He gave by direct heavenly revelation to the Apostle Paul. And he wrote directly to the church, the body of Christ. Now, once that begins to dwell in you richly in all wisdom, in your handout, it says there, it's a key. This is a key in clothing ourselves in the attitudes and actions of the new man that we talked about there in verses 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. The Word of Christ, that good sound doctrine given through Paul, that's got to get in you. You got to get it in you, get rooted in it, and then you will begin to put on Christ in your daily life.